just in my own reading time with the Lord, I was in Nehemiah 8, Ezra. It tells where Ezra stands up, reads from the book of the law, reads the word, and then they praised, and then they sang. And it reminded me of probably 16, 17 years ago, John O. Everybody knows John O. I don't know what we do without John O. He's my brain. And he came to me and he said, "Can you explain something to me? Why do we do church the way we do it? Because in the Bible, like, they usually would, you know, throw a word out, like, you know, hammering the people, and then they'd celebrate." And I said, "Because that's how we always done it." Oh. And they got convicted of that. So for a while, we did it. We flipped the switch. And so I just said, "You know what? Here's what we're going to do. Every time I feel like that's how the Lord wants us to do it, that's how we're going to do it. And today I feel like that's how the Lord wants us to do it." Amen? Is that all right with everybody? Yes. Let's pray together. Take your Bibles out. Put them on your laps. We're going to dive into praise and worship, the mystery and the wonder of worship. God, we thank you so much for inviting us into your house. Lord Jesus, we give you all the honor and all the glory that's due your name. We thank you, God, that you have already gone before us and prepared this service. You've prepared our time together. And Lord, we have come here prepared to worship, but we have come here prepared to learn. And so, Lord, I would just ask that God just open our hearts. And Lord, that it seems different, it feels different, it's right. It feels right. It is right because we're following what you said. And when we follow what you said, we cannot lose. And so, Lord, we just go where you go. And we don't go somewhere and ask you to bless it. We go where you've already blessed. And so we come behind you, Lord Jesus. Speak to our hearts. Peel back us, so that more of you can shine. In the glorious name of Jesus, the church said, amen, amen. Amen. We're still talking about praise and worship. If you have missed any of it on this journey, man, just go back and listen to the podcast. They're all there. We're on part 10 right now. Let's catch up. We turned a corner a couple of weeks ago and started talking about praise. And we established through Scripture that praise and worship were really, they're the same thing. The church just has a hard time defining things sometimes. So we've kind of separated the two. And I kind of poked fun at a little bit the fact that we think praise is the first, you know, fast songs, you know, and then we get serious about it. And that's not at all the way it was. And we also learned that praise is expressive just like worship is. It is the same dynamic. It's the same elements. It's the same process. It comes and is motivated from a heart of love. It's the same thing. It's just expressed differently. Are you with me? It's expressed differently. It's too early. You're like, "I have my coffee." It's not. Are you with me? Okay, we're on board here. Psalm 150, don't turn there because I'm just going to read this verse. We're going to launch from here. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything, everybody say everything. Everything. Everybody say everyone. Everyone. Yeah, let everything and everyone that has breath. And I'm imagining that you do. Otherwise, we're going to have a resurrection service, I guess. But I'm ready for anything right now. But the reality is everything that has breath is praising the Lord. His creation, the animals, you and I, if we are filling our breath. Listen, he gave us breath. Let's give it back to him. Amen. He gave us life. Let's give it back to him. Come on now. Come on now. Let's give him praise. He gave us breath. Amen. Amen. Miss Kim and I and Candace and Ryan, we were down in Tennessee yesterday. We spent all day there. We drove 5 hours and rode four-wheelers back up in Norris Lake for about eternity. And we got home about 1:30, 2 o'clock this morning. And it is amazing when you get out away from things and you just kind of stop and you look. It reminds me of Romans 1. Every man is without excuse because of the creation of God. That deserves praise. And so I want us to think of that as we move forward. Last week, we decided that we wanted to talk about what's in it for us. Why do it? And not in a selfish way, but when I do this, are there some biblical principles and biblical promises that we can receive because we are praising? And of course, we know there are. First of all, and I'll just catch us up and then we'll finish this thought. Praise benefits us because, number one, it positions us. And again, more specifically, it positions us to receive the promises of God. Amen? It positions us, it positioned the children of Israel to receive the promises of God. You say, well, what happens if we whine and complain? Well, God took care of that, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'd encourage you to mind your tongue. Amen? Because listen, God, you say, well, how long until I can really, you know, get things moving and reach my promise? Well, it took 40 years. He had to get rid of a generation of naysayers. Amen. And I want us to be in agreement that we can be positioned to receive what God has already promised. Living Water, Dayton. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Number two, we said praise benefits us because God shows up. Amen. Psalm 22, verse 3. I love this verse. You are holy. Talking about God. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Anytime you see Israel, understand that he's talking about the church, the people of God. Isn't it beautiful today? The people of God. Israel is the people of, when you see that in the scripture, it's the people of God. When you see Jerusalem mentioned, especially in the New Testament, it's narrowing it down to a specific place, so it's talking symbolically more to the local church. You still with me so far? Yeah, so he says that our praises, God's throne inhabits the praises of his people. And where there is a throne, there is ruling and there is reign and there is a kingdom that is being established. Amen. And I said before, and I'll say it again, it's about time we stopped wanting God to change his culture to match ours. We need to change our culture to match his. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Praise benefits us because God shows up. And number three, praise benefits us because it is a weapon for war. Hallelujah. How many know we're in a spiritual battle? How many know that your enemy is not your neighbor? Your enemy is not your spouse? One thing that Kim and I do when we meet with couples and they just can't stop bickering and pointing fingers and they won't own their 1% of the problem is we have literally, because we've done it ourselves, because we couldn't figure out early on in our marriage why we couldn't get past some things. Because I was looking at her as the enemy, and she was looking at me as the enemy. And so we took yellow sticky notes and post-it notes, and I put one on her forehead, and I put one on mine, and I said, I am not the enemy. You're like, man, you guys, is there anything... Is there anything you have not tried? No. No, man, because listen, it was worth taking that step. It was worth, because that way I stopped attacking her. Because as I've said many times, I had an anger management issue. So my goal was to win. My goal was not resolution. My goal was not reconciliation. My goal was to win. But I was fighting the wrong enemy. You think it don't work, try it. You want to know something else? Hey, marriage conference. Hey, something else? Pray. Oh, sorry. I thought I might say something somebody didn't know. My bad. Boy, you wish you could grab that back, don't you? Here's the thing. You can't be mad at somebody you prayed about.
You can't ask God to bless somebody and then jump on them, man, as soon as amen and they're wiping. Praise benefits us because it is a weapon for war. The Bible is the word of God, and all praise is the expression, amen, of that word of God. And we learned that if we speak the language of heaven, which is praise, if we'll speak the language of heaven, we confuse the language of hell. And when we can interrupt the communications of hell, then listen, that every battle that's ever been won is because communication lines have been confused. And praise does that. And it's so exciting. We looked at the King Jehoshaphat for one example of that, but we also last week or 2 weeks ago we looked at the demoniac, the man who was possessed in Mark chapter 5, and what Jesus had to do was whenever that we are legion because there are as many of us, and it's like okay, and so Jesus just sent him packing. But what Jesus had to do was he had to get the guy out of the way so he could do his job. And what praise does is it puts us in a different place so that the weapons of our praise can do what God wants them to do. In other words, if you'll just praise and stop trying to fix stuff, you'll be amazed at what gets fixed. Test me on that. I'd love to hear what you come up with. That brings us to number four. Let's go. Praise benefits us because, number four, it aligns us with heaven. It aligns us with heaven. It aligns us with heaven. If we want the things of heaven to happen on earth, we've got to do the things on earth that are being done in heaven. Amen? I'll say it again. If we want the things in heaven to happen on earth, and that is the model prayer that Jesus told his disciples to pray, yes? Yes? Okay. So if we want the things of heaven to happen on earth, we got to do on earth the things that are going on in heaven. What's going on in heaven? Praise. Praise is happening. Right now, even as I'm preaching, they're praising Jesus. They're praising God. Right now, they are at the throne. Think about that for a second. And I've studied the best. I've certainly not exhausted the subject. I'm not implying that at all. But all I can find is, with the exception of one half hour in Revelation 8, chapter 1, where there is complete silence, that is the only time where there is not praise going on in heaven. So what praise does, it aligns us with what's going on in heaven. That is so exciting to me. God is on his throne and being praised infinity. Eternity past, eternity forward, God is on his throne and being praised. But because we live in a tunnel that we call time, it's kind of hard for us to wrap our mind around that. We've got a hard time seeing beyond what's right in front of us, our next thing to do. Amen? I had an alert pop up on my phone this morning and said, you know, church. Like, I'm not going to forget to come to church. But because it reads my calendar and it lets me know everything that's coming up, I can find myself sometimes just looking for the next thing I've got to do. The most important thing I need to do is make sure that I lift up the name of Jesus. Praise aligns us with heaven. That's exciting to me. But sometimes we can't see past our circumstances. We can't see past our pain. We can't see past our illness. We can't see past even the good things in life. We can't see past that. To stop living in our circumstance, but live to bring heaven to earth through the vehicle of praise. Because our circumstance is what we see, that's what we respond to. Amen? Yeah. Listen. What we do is, and this is not me wagging my finger at you, we all do it. We react to what we see. We do. Good, bad, right, wrong, indifferent, regardless of how we react to what we see. We react to what we think we know. We react based upon the data that we've been given. Amen? Come on.
That's how we deal with circumstances and situations. That's how we do it. We do it emotionally. We do it mentally. We do it physically. We do it spiritually. Every aspect of our being, that is what we do. We just react to what's next. But we react to the fear and anxiety of what we're going through more than responding to the promise of God. See, reacting and responding are two different things. And I won't take the time to unpack that. Maybe I will later, but not today. And because we are not responding to the promise of God, rather we are reacting upon what we see, we kind of have this element and this emotion that rises to the surface. And it isn't one of praise, rather it's fear. It's fear. It's fear. But I want to tell you something. Fear is the prophecy of the devil. Fear is the prophecy of the devil. Fear is the false forecast that a faithful father... I'm on a roll now.
You just thought I went to seminary.
Fear is the forecast that a faithful father will not be faithful.
They all started with that. That was awesome. Fear is the false forecast that a faithful father is going to fail us. And he never will.
But praise puts us in alignment. Isaiah 54, 17, you know this verse. You know it. You can quote it. Let's read it aloud together. It's on the screen behind me. Say it with me now. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Praise his name in this house. Oh, weapons are going to be formed against you. Weapons will be formed against you. They're going to be formed against me. They're being formed as I speak. But they cannot prosper because we are responding. Listen, praise lifts our eyes above what the weapons that are formed against us. It lifts us up above. Oh, come on now. Listen, Peter walked on the waves. He walked upon that which they feared. A sailor fears waves. Come on now. But Peter was able to walk on it until he took his eyes off of the one that was keeping him afloat. You got to watch out for fear. Fear will creep up on you. Praise lifts our eyes out of the valley and sets our sights on things above. I want you to notice, I said it lifts our eyes out of the valley. You may not get out of the valley right away. But it will lift your eyes out of the valley. What's the purpose? It gives us a heaven's perspective. It gives us a different viewpoint, a different vantage point. Remember what David said in Psalm 23. He was in the valley of the shadow of death, yet he was able to rise above that and say, but I will fear no evil. I have no fear. We're not talking about the warrior king. We're talking about a boy that had some sheep out in the darkness in an area that was extremely unsafe. He said, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. How could he do that? Well, read all the Psalms and you'll read all the praise he wrote. That's the only way he could do it. Amen. Praise aligns us with this truth of eternity. You weren't designed for defeat. I wasn't designed for defeat. You were designed to be successful in the kingdom of God. Amen. Thank you. You were designed. We have swallowed the lie. And listen, I get it. I get it. We all fail. We all stumble. I get it. Nobody's perfect in this room. But when you were made a brand new creation according to Scripture, when Jesus Christ radically invaded your life like he did the Apostle Paul, amen? Yeah. When that happens, things change. Right. Things change in your life. Things change in my life. And we weren't designed to be defeated because we have already won. Right. We will only be defeated if we
like I alluded to Peter a moment ago, take our eyes off of the prize. Amen. That's why Paul said, I'm not spending my time looking backwards. I'm spending my time looking at the prize. Right. Now, I think it's important that we glance back so we never forget where God brought us from. Amen. Oh, never forget where you were or where you could have been, but God. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Why do we need to see things from heaven's viewpoint? Because heaven's view shows us that we've already won. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Why is he there? Because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Yes, yes. We win. Yes, yes. Praise brings that back to mind, and praise makes that our reality. Amen and amen. Heaven's view, if you will, when we praise and it brings heaven into our reality, heaven's view reveals the impotence of the devil. Impotence of the devil. You know, he can only do what you and I let him do. That's why I said, don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a foothold. Heaven's view reveals the pettiness of the things that you and I sweat over. I'm going to say that one more time because somebody needs to hear it. Heaven's view teaches us that we waste a ton of time over the petty, dumb stuff that when the smoke clears and at the end of the day means nothing. And we have built churches on that foundation. We have built families on that foundation. When the reality is we need to be trying to bring heaven to earth. Amen. Heaven's view shows us the power and faithfulness of God. Heaven's view shows us that this too shall pass. Amen. Your circumstance, your eyes will be lifted above it, but whatever you're in, it too shall pass. And listen, the moment that you're in is just a blip on the scale and the timeline of eternity. Church, get this in your spirit, please. Our valleys, my valley, your valley, feel the weight of this. Our valleys are in God's reality. In God's reality, in God's heaven, our valleys are opportunities for the display of His splendor and His glory in our lives. That's why you're there. The valleys, listen, the valleys were supposed to, the enemy thought the valleys were going to trip us up. But what we're learning is that the valleys, rather, is what brings heaven to earth if we learn to praise in the valley. The enemy thought he won because you got all down, depressed, and discouraged. Then you begin to praise. And your eyes were lifted above your circumstance. God, I feel you in here today. The valleys are amazing setups, if you will, for God. His goodness will be exposed. This is really in your Bible, Romans 8:28. It's really in there. It's not a preacher verse. It's just not a verse that was in a book quoted by somebody smarter than me. It's in your Bible, written by Paul. And we know, say no. We know that God calls us everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Hallelujah. We know things work together for good. Whining, grumbling, complaining, venting, all of those things. Mistreating others, bad attitudes, lashing out, unkind words, not minding our tongue, not guarding our heart, being reckless in the bad way. It puts us in agreement with the false prophecy of Satan, where praise puts us in alignment with heaven. And that's what I want. And I know that's what you want. We need to open our eyes to the reality that this is going on right now. One of my favorite little snippets in the scripture, and I know every preacher says that with every verse, and that you want a preacher that says that. Yeah. You don't want to stand up and go, I'm not really down with this story right here. I don't even like it. I'm not sure why God put it in there, but I'm going to read it. No, you want one of my favorites. You know what it is. It's found in 2 Kings. God, I love this. Elisha, he's in there snoozing away. His servant, man, can't sleep. He's stressing out over his circumstance. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? The enemy's approaching. What are we going to do? And Elisha's like, we ain't doing nothing. Okay, I hate that plan. Give us another plan. No, we're good. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 says, don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Now look at the prayer that Elisha prayed, and you and I need to pray this prayer. Then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. So the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots. I would have been blown away by horses and chariots. But God's so awesome. He surrounded him by horses and chariots that were on fire. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? It's like Ghost Rider. I clicked comics. I went backwards. My bad. Listen. Do you understand that when we are aligned with heaven in our praise, we'll see things differently. We will not be consumed by our situation. Praise is what elevates us out, which leads me to number 5. Praise benefits us because it is evangelistic. Oh, God, how I wish the church would just get a new understanding of evangelism. We've already seen what praise is and how the gospel has set the song. And it's also true that many of our classic praise songs are really just personal testimonies put to melody. Reckless Love that we've sung so often. Man, it's that dude's story. Oh, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. That was written out of a heart of pain where he had to raise up above the situation where his best friend was killed. And he started to doubt God. And John Mark McMillan penned the song, Oh, How He Loves Us, in the deepest place of his pain. But that is how he was able to rise above the situation and see heaven. And how many people have come to know the Lord because people have made that an anthem of their life and sung about the amazing love of God. And those who feel unworthy to be loved have come to know Jesus. How is that possible, Jeff? It's possible because praise is evangelistic. Praise draws people to Jesus. This afternoon, I get the opportunity later on today to lead worship with my cousin Dougie. And I love just playing with him. And we were messing around the other day. He calls me out of the blue. It was after rehearsal one week. He calls me up and he says, cuz, he said, I just realized I laid all the songs out that God has given me, praise and worship songs that he's given me, and I've laid them all out. He goes, it's my story. Because what I told him, and some of you know him, he used to be the worship leader at Dayton Vineyard, just an incredible musician, incredible man of God, but man, he took a wicked turn to the left by his own admission. And praise God, the prodigal came home. And so I kept telling him, dude, we can't wing this. And if you ever have heard me talk about him before, this is a guy that I had to make him have rehearsals, because he's like, nah, we'll just stand up here and play, man. He said, man, we've been playing together for 50 years. I get that, but I need to know what's going on. So as the reason he had his songs laid out, he's putting together a set list, and he started to look, and he's kind of singing them along. Okay, that'll sound good. That'll go into that one good. You know, he's praying over it. That's a great transition. Okay, yeah. And then it dawns on him, oh, my goodness, it started way back here. It started way back here when I was drowning. And as God kept calling, and we close with a song called The Prodigal Son that he penned years ago, that was really just a cry from his heart that he wrote on a napkin alone in a hotel room in Texas, calling out to God, didn't have the words. Listen to me. Praise is evangelistic.
Praise draws people to Christ. And as Cuz will set up his songs today and explain the song, where the heart of the song, if you will, it will draw people to Christ because they can find themselves in the song. Are you feeling me? Praise, whether it be song or words, prayer, whatever it is to you, it is the secret to evangelism. You don't believe me? Argue with David. Psalm 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. He put a new song. Hey, how's that old song working for you? Exactly. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. No, I'm going to say it again until you feel this. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. That's evangelism. Many will see it and fear and put their trust. That word fear is to revere. I love this verse. But listen, the reason I love this verse is because verse 1 and verse 2, look at it with me. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He put my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. Oh, and then we get to our text. And then he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see it. Many will fear it. And they will put their trust in him. That's a testimony. Praise brought that to be. Praise is how that got communicated. Praise is what draws people in. Hallelujah. And when you've got a testimony, I don't care what it is, you could have the testimony that says, you know what? I saved myself till marriage. That's encouraging. You don't have to be the guy that rode with the Hell's Angels for 80 years and now you give Jesus 5 seconds of your time. No, no. It ain't about that. We were made new creations. Amen. Stay with me. God help me. When you've got a testimony, I don't care what it is, I don't care what you've done, you can relate it to somebody. And listen, it's easy to find a heart full of praise when you remember where you were. While studying these verses, I began to pray over them and I got all worked up. And I'm just being transparent to you, I was in my office. This was Tuesday. And, you know, I'm like, okay, God, I think I know what you want. I think I know where we're going. And so I'm just praying over this and praying over these verses just kind of captured my heart. And it was just a time of thanking him and praising him. And he stopped me. I mean, it was like he put his hand on my head. I just felt a heaviness. I don't know how to describe it. So, and he stopped me from praying. He stopped me from speaking. And he spoke into my heart. And he asked me the question. And when God asks a question, he's not looking for data. When God asks a question, he don't need information. He asks a question so that we understand where the heck we are. Where are you, Adam? Adam, where you at?
I can't find Adam anywhere.
No, that wasn't God. No, God knew when, why, where, and how. Amen? So God asked me this question. He said, son, why do my people praise me with no expression? And I said, well, God, it's, you know, people are different, God. And man, it was like all of a sudden my tongue stuck to the roof of my mouth, and I'm like, I could not audibly speak. So that's a cue to shut up. And so I just sat and I listened, and I just prayed. I repeatedly would say the name of Jesus. Music was on shuffle in the background, and I never know what's going to pop up. And a song came on that is so familiar that honestly, I love it when we get into it, but when I see it, when Trey sends me the set list, when I see it, I don't challenge him because I know he stayed before God to get this, what he wants, what God wants him to sing and lead, or one of the ladies.
But man, I am so sick of reckless love. I'm the guy that, I don't know, after a while, it's kind of like the word revival. The more you say it, the more it loses its punch. It's kind of like revolution. The more you say it, the less it has. You know what I mean? Let's start a revolution. Yeah, well, we've done that. Hey, we're going to be the hub of revival. I said it for 18 years. We're going to be the hub of revival. Yeah. Yeah, we've heard that for 18 years. God's going to give us the nations. I'm sure he will. We're going to get nations left and right. We don't know what we're going to do with all these nations. While I was studying, I'll be daggone if that Reckless Love song didn't come on. And man, that intro. I'm like, what are you trying to do to me, God? Seriously. And I just stopped and I listened. And God said, while that song was playing, God said these words, and I grabbed the paper still in my office. I immediately grabbed a piece of paper. Forgive me if you're in the room, but it was a picture that one of the little kids had drawn me. I didn't write over top of it, but I flipped that thing over, and I wrote down these words, and I wrote them here so that I would not miss it. My people give me no heartfelt praise because they have no testimony. They sing words, but they don't feel they need rescued, so they don't have much to praise about. And that broke me. And I thought he was done. And he said, but a person whose shadow my light has shone into, the person whose mountain I've climbed and walls that I've kicked down and lies that I've torn down, that's the bridge to the song that I can't stand. And they praise me. They praise me because they were in darkness and they remember when they were in darkness. They had a wall they couldn't get through, and so I came and crushed it for them, and they walked through it. They were bound, and I set them free. They know how to praise. I don't have to beg them to praise. They know how to get a hold of me. They know how to praise. Praise, listen, it's evangelistic. It calls out from the saved, are you with me, to the wayward. And what are we praising? We're praising Jesus for what he's done. We're praising God the Father. We're singing, we're talking about, we're praying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why many just want to get through the first half of the service because, listen, I don't need that part. I get it. I own CDs. I got an iTunes account. I'm good. That's not why we meet, church. Not why we meet. We meet here praising Jesus and whatever time limit you have on it. I'm not sorry. But whatever time limit, and I don't mean like a jerk. I just mean I'm not going to apologize for what God's doing. So whatever time limit you have on it, God does not work around our schedule. And we've got to understand that praise is the best evangelism tool that we have. Because it is our story. It is what God has brought us through. It is why David would sing these songs. And it was just lifting up Jesus. Lifting up God the Father. He was in circumstances that he could not get out of. Are you still with me? I love this line in the verse we read. He put a new song in my mouth. Look, God. Not the worship pastor. Not the pastor. Not your best friend, not your accountability partner, not your old preacher, not your current preacher, your forever preacher. I was going to say your future preacher, and I'm like, what are you doing? He put a new song in it. Listen, it's by the Spirit that we praise, because he's the one who put the song in our mouth. Are you with me? Yes. I want you to think about that for Jesus is the ultimate worship leader because he put the song in us. Now dare we stifle that, yes? Oh, but look at the rest of that verse again. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Evangelism. Oh, but look at it again because we read this way too fast. What are we talking about? We're talking about the expression of worship. We're talking about the expression of praise. And it must have it, or it isn't it. Look at this. Many will see. Why not hear? No, I don't mean H-E-R-E. Why? H-E-A-R. You would think. Would you not, church? You would think he put a new song in my mouth. You would think automatically that that should say, so many will hear. No, because praise is expressive. Yes, it's words. But what will bring reverence to the Lord that causes people to put their trust in Him is when people see that you are so unashamed of your Jesus, yeah, that you're willing to move when He tells you to move, dance when He tells you to dance. As my father said, the way I praise is with tears. My daddy, he cried. He would say the grace over the meal and he'd cry. I don't know where I get it. Many will see. It's an expression. So many will see my expression of praise, not because I'm praising for them to see, but rather Jesus inhabits our praise. Remember? Yeah. Many will see my salvation experience because of me praising, where I was delivered from the mud, and now I'm standing firmly on the solid rock with a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. I'm not the same guy. You're not the same either. And I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but we need to look at this. Not only will they see and not just hear, many will see and hear. No, don't overlook that. Many will see. What will they fear? They'll fear the reality that God is alive. And again, fear meaning the ultimate in reverence. They will fear that He is on His throne because He is the King. They will fear because they will come into contact with the reality that Jesus is still in the saving business. He's not done. Amen. We still have breath, so we have work to do. If we were only saved for heaven, we'd have been in heaven in a blink of an eye as soon as we said yes to Jesus. But see, we're plan A. We're plan A in winning the world. There is no plan B. And praise is the best vehicle we have. They will fear the reality that hell is defeated and sin was crushed when Jesus crushed the head of the serpent. Oh my God. They'll understand that because, why? Because, listen, you can't live that 24/7 and somehow that not come out of you. It's impossible. I'm not wanting you to be me. I'm wanting you to be you. But listen, we've got to understand that many will see. I just think we have a reason to praise. Respect like that and reverence like that, it always demands a response. Praise causes people to see and to fear. And then they'll put their trust. Put their trust in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Man. A person that can praise in the worst of circumstances, they don't got to be preachers. They don't got to have more degrees than a thermometer. All they need is to have heartfelt praise come out of them to the God that has never failed them. And even though the situation looks bleak, when we can express praise, it changes the environment of those around us. Jeff, you've said that for 10 weeks. Yeah, I have. Now, I'm going to let Luke tell us. Acts chapter 16, verse 27. You already know the story because Paul and Silas were in jail and it wasn't looking good for them. In fact, they were slated to die. They were going to be murdered. And again, I don't know who came up with the great idea of, let's just sing while we're in shackles. We know our time is limited, so we're just going to sing. Your Bible says this, when they sung and God sent an earthquake and every wall fell. Every bar bent. Everything come crashing down. The chains fell off. The stocks blew open. Why? Because a couple guys decided this could not get any worse. But God. And when that happened and the earthquake came and everything and the smoke clears, the jailer was going to die. Your Bible says the jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed all the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword. He was getting ready to fall on his sword, and this happened. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here." It's not like any prison I've ever been to. The jailer called for lights. Give me a torch. Give me a torch. I got to do a head count. The jailer called for a light. He ran to the dungeon. He fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What did that? Praise drew this jailer to Jesus. What must I do to be saved? They seen them praise. The jailer seen him praise. The other prisoners seen him praise. They weren't in a situation that demanded praise. They weren't in a circumstance that would normally create praise. But they praised anyway. And they lifted their voice. And they did it with joy. And they did it for what they believed God was going to do. And then he sent an earthquake. And if you read on in this chapter, the jailer's whole family gets saved. Why? Because two guys shackled up decided, you know what? We're going to praise. Because it confuses the lines of communication to our enemy. God help us see this. Listen, did Paul give an altar call? Did Paul give an altar call? No. Listen, was this man convicted of his sin and separation from Jesus because Silas had a great tearjerker preacher story at the end of this? No. Did Paul say, "Everybody bow your head and close your eyes"? No. They praised. God showed up because he enthrones the praises of his people. And when he showed up, things changed. Situations changed. Environments changed. The elements changed. The atmosphere changed until hearts were changed. Sometimes, man, we get so busy doing church, we forget what we're here to do, and that's praise. I want to do church. I've done church all my life. I'm not into it. I'm just not. I could put a service together. You can put a service together. I'm not here to put a service together. I'm here to create an environment where Jesus can come and do what he came to do. Praise. Praise is so evangelistic. I love it. Lost people. Lost people, that they're not offended by God's presence. Just not. We've got a promise that when we praise, many will see and fear God and put their trust in him. That's a promise. That's not a suggestion. That's not a if you do it right or if you don't go off key and if there's no minor chords in it because that's of Satan. If you do it perfectly, then I might show up. It doesn't say that. He lifted you and I out. He put our feet on the rock, put a new song in our mouth, and we praise. And many will see, and many will fear. We need to let, that's a great promise. And I believe we need to let everyone who's comfy and not talk too much about Jesus or the blood of the sacrifice, because we might offend somebody, we need to let them know they need to get over themselves. Because I'm not trying to put, listen. I'm not pointing people to living water. I'm pointing people to Jesus. My prayer is that we can help somebody get there. And I pray because they'll pass good churches to get here. And I pray that God draws them here. And through our praise and through our authenticity and our action and our acceptance, I pray that they decide that, you know what, I need what they've got. And they say yes to Jesus. They say yes to Jesus. Finally, and I close, praise benefits us because it aligns us with heaven. It is evangelistic, but it's also our teacher. Praise is our teacher. Colossians 3 said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How many scripture do you know? Don't answer. Word for word. I mean, like the address, where it's found, every word. You've got it. Most of us memorize them in the King James. Not that that's bad. I mean, that's just what I was raised on. Now compare that to how many songs you know. A song come on the radio, I'm on it, man. You ever filled out a form and they asked for your phone number? I need your spouse's phone number. I just say, call Kim. And it happens. There's something about putting things to a melody that helps us remember. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in song. Teaching and encouraging through song, through praise. Teaching through. I read this week about soldiers in World War II, and it's just. A blurb. It was nothing. I was looking for something else and found this little piece of paper, and it in the foxholes in World War II, whole lot of different ethnic groups represented. They weren't all raised in the same church. Many from different parts of the nation and world. And the article said that what they would do is they would begin to sing the song they learned as a kid. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. Sing, 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 sing. Tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak. He is strong. Come on. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. And it got them through. They went back to what they knew. The lost, the saved. Lifted up the name of Jesus. When you ain't got nothing else to fall back on, you'll realize. Don't wait for God to put you there. Praise teaches us that it is God that lifts us out of the pit, puts us on the rock, puts a new song in our mouth, and sets us free. I'm excited about that. It's the greatest evangelism tool and the greatest teaching tool we could ever, 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 ever use. C.S. Lewis says this, and I close. The most valuable thing praise does for me is to express the same delight in God which made David dance. The most valuable thing praise does for me is to say, express the same delight in God which made David. That's not my personality, bro. That's not my personality. God would not have put as much emphasis Listen, we've talked for 10 weeks about expressive worship and praise. You cannot praise quietly. How do you praise quietly? You can worship in silence. Praise, you can't. There's nowhere. I mean, you read like the end of the book of Psalms. If you read like 149 and like 150, all they're doing is making noise. Clashing cymbals, and everybody brought out their instruments. I'm not in tune yet. Doesn't matter, just go. Because there's something about praise that aligns us with heaven. And it is a great, great tool of evangelism. And it teaches us. But you know what? It's okay to step out of your comfort zone and worship and praise your God. I wish I could recount every time when someone has come to me and expressed how it felt the first time they stepped out of their comfort zone. Challenge you based on the word of God. If you have been rescued from the miry pit and God has put your feet on a solid rock, you've got a promise that he's put a new song in your mouth. And as you release that, many will see it and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. You got to have a testimony. Don't mean you got to be the worst guy in town. You've got to have a time when you realized you needed Jesus, and this was you before, and this is you now. And now you're on a continual process of God making you more like his son every day. I challenge you to praise. I'm going to pray, and we're going to have the band come out. And we're going to do like Ezra did. I've shared the word with you, and now we're going to praise. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for your word. God, may we not be just hearers, but may we be doers as well. God, I pray that we would not take lightly your words. God, that many will see our expression of worship, that many will feel it. And they will be drawn to you like the jailer was drawn to Paul and Silas. I pray, God, that you would just move us today. Move us today. And anything good that happens here is because of you. In Jesus' name. Church, can we give him a shout of praise? Yeah.